and heal them. It is our dharma to process the emotions that we hide from. That is why there is reincarnation. There is no path to freedom except through healing. We are all here to heal the caged wounds imprisoned by our fear of emotion. And in all that healing, learn compassion for all the wounds of humanity. And it is through our learning compassion that we raise the consciousness of the universe. Is our raison d'etre is to heal ourselves, and through healing, grow in awareness. By releasing the energy tied up in our caged emotions, our awareness grows. Awareness is a precursor from which our collective consciousness grows. Expanding our individual consciousness is the beginning of individual freedom. Individual freedom is the ground upon which our collective consciousness is built. And this, my friends, is where we will find the path to world healing. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil. I felt your poem was very philosophical, and it had a definite message. So what is our raison d'etre, our mission in life? I felt you, like, what I could understand was that we are all born here to experience sorrows and joys, but our mission is to heal, right? Healing ourselves and to face our dharma is to process our emotions, and we can only heal if we learn compassion and raise the common consciousness. I hope I could, you know, understand the poem, but it was really beautiful. Thank you, Neil.
This is another way I am advocating the idea of we are here to learn to love ourselves without condition. There are two components to our existence. One is that we are fallible, not infallible, and we are impermanent, not permanent. And we got to remember everybody comes into this existence without a roadmap.
That's beautiful. Right.
Also, since that we're here to pay for something or make things right, that there is there isn't this picture of at the end everybody's clapping their hands and crossing the sea, going to heaven, but that it seemed to speak of we, as part of the human condition, to have some things sometimes we have to heal from or deal with, or sometimes the things we do bring us to periods of pain where we learn how not to, don't do that again. But I just sense the thread of retribution or is it compensation where you have to compensate for what you've done, or retribution?
No, the illusion is that we are permanent and we are perfect, and we're neither permanent nor perfect. And that means that we experience, I mean, can you imagine anything more traumatic than being born?
No.
And that's where we begin. We start with being, traumatized from a nice, warm, intimate womb, and we're thrust out into the world, and then spanked.
That's right.
Yeah.
So anyway, I've taken it on that, and Ramona, thank you for noticing the idea of compassion, because that's where it all begins, is having compassion for ourselves and for everybody else.
Right.
It's hard to have compassion for yourself. It's easier to have compassion for others.
Yes, you're right. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's really impossible to have it for myself, but I can have compassion for others.
But you didn't have anybody to teach you, because there's no living example except for what they try and do in the religious medium. But that, even that's not what it's true.
Linda is a a very energetic and very positive person. We work together in Eco Wisdom, and as you see, she's got a plant behind her. Well, we're recording in a studio, and video isn't shown with it, but one of the things that's close to her heart is plants and helping people to understand how nature helps them to deal with life situations, deal with things like loss, pain, etc. And she is one of those other people that has gotten behind her book and not waited to see if McGraw-Hill or somebody else. She has gone out on the road with books. Would you tell us a little of your book? And if we have time, when Linda and I do workshops together on creative arts, eat your colors, food, and when we get ready to talk about something that she is really excited about promoting to people, we say, knock, knock.
Yeah, who can possibly be there? I'm going to say that it's, you were just talking about Eco Wisdom and the nature that the World Health Organization states that nature is the most important factor in health and well-being. And the ideal is Shimla, which comes from Japan, that everyone should have 2 hours a week in nature, and that doesn't have to be all at once. It can be 10 hours or 10 minutes today and 20 minutes tomorrow. And it doesn't have to be outdoors and in a park. You can have nature at home with houseplants or through your window or other places if you're unable to get out. So our connection with nature is so important for our health and our well-being. And Shorgan and I have done some programs together, and we have some more coming up this summer.
Right.
We have some more coming up this summer. We just received a $2,000 grant from Parks Canada to provide programs in the Metro Vancouver area over the, between now and November.
And
so we're going to, and in terms of my book, I've traveled quite a bit, and people kept saying, you should write a book, you should write a book. So I did write a book. I really should have done a second book, but my time and energy hasn't allowed that, because I finished my book in 2000 and I guess 10, I summited Mount Everest. And I'm only the second person in the world to have done that in a wheelchair. Not to the top of Everest, but I went 2,500 feet above base camp. And I've done other, the most recent was to do the Camino Santiago pilgrimage route from through Spain. And that was a really, people say, was it accessible? And I'm thinking, accessible not in terms of other people's minds. I went across a bridge that one wheel of my chair was on the bridge, and on the other side was a volunteer and hip waders who held the other side of my chair up to get across the bridge. So it's a matter of being, as my son says, she's gutsy, but she's got to be a bit crazy too, to have done some of those things that she's done.
And any words about, we have a way of talking about people made to feel like you can't do certain things because they're disabled. But you have a little thing, we say, knock, knock, about...
I always say, knock, knock. Who can possibly be at my door today, interrupting my super busy agenda? Because like a crabby mother-in-law or an unwelcome relative, a disability drops in for a moment and stays a lifetime. And then I only had two choices. One was to stay at home and moan and groan and complain that life was not fair. And the other was to take what I have and do what I can with it. And I haven't walked in over 30 years. I have multiple sclerosis. I was diagnosed in 1983, about 2 months after I ran my last marathon. And believe me, I'm a nurse. I'd only worked with people with MS who were really debilitated. And so I was a basket case for the first few years. And then I decided you couldn't just stay home and do anything. I thought about it all one weekend. On a Monday morning, I booked my plane ticket to Beijing, China. And the first trip I took up by myself was to China. So I went off to China. And when you get to the airport in Beijing, it was just plywood shacks and a whole bunch of suitcases and one blue wheelchair. Mm-hmm. And the first time I ever used a wheelchair was in China. And I bought I went to Cap Cycle and bought a bike lock because I knew if I had to walk to the Great Wall, when I got there, I wouldn't be able to walk on it. So I wheeled to the Great Wall about a mile and locked my wheelchair up and walked on the wall. And so I have pictures of me walking on the Great Wall of China just a few months after I was diagnosed with MS. And I said, I haven't walked in over 30 years. But walking is not, that Charlotte will make to this. People say, oh, do you wish you could walk? Oh, really not. But what I really wish is I could get up in the morning and have a shower by myself in the morning. I have a gals that come every morning to help me get up and shower and dress. But if I had anything granted to me, it would be the ability to get out of bed and have a shower on my own. However, I'm lucky enough to have some really, really, three really great gals that come in the morning on different days to help me.
Thank you.
So, Charlotte, for sure next time I will have my poems ready.
Okay.
Great.
Linda, where did you go to the Great Wall? At Badaling or what's on you?
What's on you?
Yeah, that's the best one. I've been to both because the one at Badaling is really difficult.
Yeah. Well, and the first one, it has railings, so I could hang onto a railing. I mean, I couldn't walk very well, but I could lift one foot ahead of the other, and I could hang onto a railing.
I love that place. I've been there a few times.
In fact, next month, 2 months from now, in July, I'm doing a program in Victoria with the Victoria Foundation on diverse destinations for people with disabilities and seniors and students from UVic who are rec therapy students and OT students and PT students about the possibility and the adventure of people traveling even though they can't get up and walk a mile. So I'm doing the one I'm doing in Victoria is on July 19th.
Okay, thank you. Just seeing ability. So many people are made to feel like, well, you can't do this, you can't do that. But this poetry pop-up has people who pop up doing all kinds of amazing things with travel, with writing, with drawing on nature. Nature is a healing force. And as Linda says, the UN has documented how spending 20 minutes of time in nature can help with a number of so-called ailments. I want to...
Charlotte, you're going to laugh at me because, I worked as the nursing consultant for Handy Dart for TransLink for Metro Vancouver, my last nursing position. And I went to the TransLink office on a Monday a couple of years ago, and somebody said to me, what did you do on the weekend? And I said, I went water skiing in Burrard Inlet. And they looked at me and said, you did what? You can't even stand up and you went water skiing in Burrard Inlet? And my cousin, who's a physiotherapist who travels with me sometimes, she lives in Ontario. And on Facebook, she calls me her handy abled cousin. She never calls me a handicapped cousin. She calls me her handy abled cousin.
Thank you for
Knowing there's a whole lot I can't do. Right. But you have to focus on what you possibly can do.
And you do so much. Poetry, as you know, in forest bathing, which is a set of principles and practices on using and being involved with nature. And poetry is one avenue to mindfulness. It's one of the things that it's been documented as a healing form. So you're going to be seeing us doing more activities where outside is a part of a day where people might be doing physical exercises, painting. We will have poetry. I want to ask you, I'm going to share a poet with you that you might not have thought of a poet as being a poet. Who knows who Dr. George Washington Carver is? Well, he not only saved the South agriculturally.
I know the name.
I do too, but...
He developed and created over 200 products from sweet potatoes. He is called the man who talked with the flowers. And people ask him, you know, how do you do that? And he said, his answer was, how do I talk to a little flower? Through it, I talk to the infinite. And what is the infinite? It is that silent, small force. It isn't the outer physical contract. Nope. It isn't that. The infinite is not confined in the visible world. It is not in the earthquake, the wind, or the fire. It is that still small voice that calls up the fairies. Now, people will say that I'm getting into words, just words. I refer to the unseen spirit that defines the power of human reproduction, that challenges the power of human expression. Dr. Carver created Bach paintings. He was... called in by agriculturalists, called in by so many people, and they only talk about him and the peanut. He spoke to the peanut. The peanut was only one of 200 different products that he spoke to and created medicines or textiles. He had things that were in the textile world, and he had things that were in the plant world. On days, when it was a rainy day, he would have a lab and people could come in and be treated for free. He had treatments for diabetes. Right now, as you know, many people are stuck in the quandary of not being able to afford a certain drug, and on the other hand, having all of the side effects that come from that drug. But he had treatments from different plants that were used. So there's a book that I recommend you look up. It's called The Man Who Talks with the Flowers, The Intimate Life Story of Dr. George Washington Carver. And okay. I'm going to read one of his favorite poems. Figure it out for yourself, my lad. You've all that the greatest of men have had. Two arms, two hands, two legs, two eyes, and a brain to use if you would be wise. With this equipment, they all began. So start from the top and say, I can. Look them over, the wise and great. They take their food from a common plate. And similar knives and forks they use. With similar laces, they tie their shoes. The world considers them brave and smart. But you've all that they had when they made their start. You can call triumph and come to skill. You can be great if you only will. You're well equipped for what fight you choose. You have arms and legs and a brain to use. And the man who has risen great deeds to do begins his life with no more than you. You are the handicap you must face. You are the one who must choose your place. You must stay where you want to go. How much will you study the truth to know? God has equipped you for life, but he had let you decide what you want to be. Courage must first come from the soul within. The man must furnish the will to win. So figure it out for yourself, my lad. You were born with all that the great have had. With your equipment, they all began. get hold of yourself and say, I can. So in this book by Glenn Clark, he spent some time following and interviewing and talking with Dr. Carver. One of the things that he would do, he made so many paints. He created paints. He created just a bounty of products. A peanut. You see some books and they just show him with the peanut. He didn't just grow the peanut. He came up with a way of aerating the soil and rotating the soil that allowed southern forms to stay and flourish. So this is a person I would recommend reading, The Intimate Life Story of Dr. George Washington Carver. So now we've come again close to the time that we say the end. We record on Wednesdays. We have our own party and our own get-together here at the downtown CJSF studio at 312 Main and out on the campus. But it's aired, the Suluau show, the show where my guest and I speak up so that you can listen up and act upon what you do. It's aired at 10 a.m. every Friday morning. So I welcome you to listen. We started having these pop-ups a year ago, and now we've done consistently. Before it was kind of off and on a feature, but now at least one of the four or five Suluau shows per month is a speak up, listen up, act upon poetry pop-up.
So Charlotte, when is your next?
Well, this one is, there'll be another within June. This is another thing about poetry pop-ups. It's also short notice. So to get people in the habit of being ready for when they have an opportunity to share their work. But our show juggles between, sometimes we have interviews with other shows that are going on. We just had the meeting, an interview with the artistic directors for the meeting. I've interviewed Cora Leone, but we will, within the first 3 weeks of May, have another one. And
Of June, you mean?
Right. I'm trying to hold on to May. May was majestic, but the months are going so fast. But yes, we will have it. And we also will be doing that as one of our Nature Wisdom events that we have out in the public. We're talking with the studio or someplace where we can have a poetry and a... Jesse's pointing to us.
Perfect.
Okay, so thank you, each of you, for coming along and being with us. And people ask me what time it is. What do I say? It's always love time, poem time, think time, thanking God for time to be with you. Enjoy your holidays. Enjoy your quiet times. Enjoy your own company. Each one of the people that have spoken here have beautiful work they share, but you can see that they're in their own company. Knowing that you're going to have an opportunity to share poetry, I think also inspires people to write more. So thank you so much for being an inspiration as you show up and show out and speak up every time we meet.
Love time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place of space for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem time, poem time.
I was ashamed.
Don't doubt yourself.